You're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network.
Hey, Chris, what are you drinking there?
Oh, you never seen one of these before?
No, what is that?
Oh, man, this is a brewery in Austin, Circle Brewing. They're right near my house, right up on Breaker Road. They got their own brewery with a bunch of stuff. This is actually, you're gonna think I'm lying. This is, I think, the best American Hefeweizen I've ever had, Circle Brewer.
Get out.
It's made in America. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. That's high praise coming from you.
Well, take a sip of this thing. Try that.
All right, let me see.
No. That wasn't the Hefeweizen. That was the IPA.
Yeah, no, that was the fantastic.
Ladybird. Yeah, that's good, too. Man, they make a lot of good beers. And like I said, you can come visit them at their tap room right down the street here from me on Breaker Lane. It's delicious stuff, and they actually became the sponsor for the website, oneofus.net.
Wow, good guys, and they live right down the street from here?
They certainly do, and you can even get their beer in convenience stores now.
Ah, convenience store. I'm going to just walk over to Circle.
We are back, talking about I Am the Night. Man, this is not the show that the commercials made it out to seem, huh?
Really isn't. So one thing about the show so far, we swapped directors for these two, right?
Yeah, this one is
no longer Patty Jenkins.
No, I think this one here is Victoria Mahoney, who's directing these last two.
And for me, at least, and not just in the tone of the directing, but even in just the show content where episode 3 opens up, it's a different show. Like,
yeah,
I had to check whether or not I'd missed a minute somewhere.
Yeah, there's still some issues with pacing. I mean, for people who are listening to this, this is probably going to be mostly recounting stuff that we kind of said the last review, but adding what we feel is maybe a little bit different or better. But I will say one flaw I'm still having is that there's still a bit of a pacing problem where, at least episode 4 especially, there was a long stretch of that episode where nothing happened. For the most part, it was just a lot of chit chat and a lot of stuff that should ostensibly be interesting. I'm just kind of like, I'm still waiting to be a Black Dahlia show.
Yeah. It's really weird. I want one show or the other, but what I'm finding instead is that both prevent either one from really setting their hook.
And yeah. I mean,
it's kind of driving me nuts, especially in 3 and 4 where it's been a while since I've watched a show that had this much interesting stuff happening that I'm still not really interested in. And it's almost like I think I would just leave this by the wayside if it were just a blah show. I'd be like, eh, whatever, didn't get. But I'm almost a little irritated at it of like, no, you occasionally drop this Hannibal-like scene on me. And I'm like, wait, what am I watching? This isn't really what... It really came to a fruition, particularly in, I think, the 4th episode. There's a scene with her adoptive mother, with Fauna's adoptive mother. And at this point now, she's had enough run-ins with the rich side of her family. Like, the story I want out of this is a girl raised mixed race in kind of miserable circumstances, caught between worlds, discovering that, oh, my real mom will, my parents really are super spies. Like every orphan's dream, basically, she discovers she's adopted, and then she discovers her family's rich, and then that sours so quickly, and it turns out her rich family. Like, that's the through-line story that I want, and instead I get this kind of awkwardly blended thing, so that I don't feel like in episodes 1 and 2 we spend enough time with her adoptive family for this scene to pay off in 4 like it needs to, where her mom looks at her, I'm saying mom because this is the woman that raised her. None of the rich people seem to actually have her interests at all. And Chris Pine is a wholly untrustworthy adult. So I realize other adults have told her to stay the hell away from George Hodel and not look into her parentage. But this is the first time where a person who has been through her childhood with her and has loved her and protected her at some point, despite their complicated relationship, her mom looks at her and slaps her in the face and says, stop looking into this, basically. But I haven't spent enough time on that storyline for it to have enough weight to be used the way it needs to be used at that point.
And because the problem is that they don't really sell George Hodel as a threat. He's weird. He's creepy. He's got some people who are more scary than he is. But everyone talks so much, George Hodel, George Hodel, George Hodel. You barely see any of him in this show.
Yeah. There's a point where you realize that you're assuming, like, all they've done is show you a lot of stylistics. Like, every once in a while there's a moment where you realize, oh wait, no one said that out loud. That is not actually known information. You know, like there are moments in horror movies where you realize, like, why doesn't this family move out of the house? Oh, because nothing's happened to them yet. It's all just been creepy music stings for the audience.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that here. Like, I realize other, you know, adults have told her to stay away from George Hodel, but it was really kind of in the fourth episode where the one person who I feel like could have had the character weight to really make that part of the story stick, but we'd spent so much time with the stylish Hannibal side that we hadn't sold me on these other characters yet. I don't believe that part of her family. They're all kind of interchangeable a little. And then you've got, I don't know the actor's name. It looks like John C. Reilly in a Lou Ferrigno biopic.
Yeah, no, I don't remember the actor either.
Victor Sepps. Sepp. But his whole, like, now I believe he's a threat.
He's the only intimidating part of the story. Like,
yes,
he's scary.
Is genuinely scary. And really, Hodel only is a threat by the fact that Hodel seems to be associated with him, which is not how their dynamic should work.
Well, and we only know because they meet each other at one point in episode 4, but other than that, it feels like that Sepps dude is totally unrelated to Hodel if you didn't know by that point.
Yeah. It looks great. It looks better than I thought TNT could pull off, honestly.
They put some money into this. Yeah.
And I was shocked that the marquee director I thought that I would love the episodes of, I like 3 and 4 better than I liked 1 and 2, though I still feel like there's some pacing problems and I don't like the whole structure of how the story's broken down.
Yeah, well, and that's the problem is that now that I've gotten through 3 and 4 and I realize this is a 6-episode series, I don't know how they're going to pay this off. I mean,
I don't know how they could stick a landing that would satisfy me in the next 2.
Well, because the problem is, again, the problem with being a meta audience kind of thing, we know that there's no conclusive answer to this story. So,
yeah. I think by episodes 3 and 4, that's kind of what was irritating me about their insistence on continuing with this heavier and heavier into the Dahlia side of it. Was like, I know this is the blind avenue. I know that this path can't actually lead anywhere. I was hoping that would fade a little and push more into Fauna's story, like the human interest story of this happening to this girl, but instead it seems obsessed with the kind of glamorous morbid Dahlia side of it, and I just don't see what they're going to pay off that isn't going to veer off into like Inglourious Bastards level like
revisionist fantasy stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Like, unless they're going to burn Hitler in theater at the end of this, I really don't see how this goes anywhere.
Well, you know, I will say there is still good stuff in the show. Like, we finally actually see the main characters meet each other in both these episodes.
Yes.
Which both those encounters are great, and both of Indy Isley and Chris Pine work really well together, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and Pine in this is absolutely great. I have to say. Like,
he is giving this way too much more than the show deserves, I would say.
When things work in this show, they work beautifully, but it feels like a couple of shows cut together intermittently, and it's really odd. I find myself in like moving scenes where I don't know one of the characters well enough for the scene for it to really feel like it connects. It's odd. Like, I feel like it's flitting between plot points, and it's never quite landing enough for me to really get into it.
I also have to blame
4 hours of this, and I'm not more glued to this yet.
Yeah, no, I have to almost blame Sam Sheridan of all people in this one. The guy, he's written all 4 episodes up to this point, and I don't know. It feels like the directors are giving it all, the music is giving it all. It's just not a story that seems to have a lot of substantial weight to carry this much tension.
And I have to wonder. I mean, I was not. I'm not serial killer obsessed. That I did not know a whole lot about the Black Dahlia murder prior to reading a little Wikipedia after starting this series, and I really didn't know it truly connected to the Zodiac or whether or not it does. I know they want to pin like 4 different serial killers on him, maybe. But it was almost that the more it looked into that, the less interesting the show got to me. especially when they have actors that are on screen doing great work and they've got this story laying there that I find endlessly fascinating about this girl and her issues with her parentage being such a just kind of a crap sandwich. I mean, she really thinks she won the orphan lottery for a second, and it's awful. And there's also the story of what her mom is going through. It's not just the story of a mixed race kid catching some crap from other mean kids. Her mom caught stuff from other moms for similar racial reasons. And all of those stories are kind of left by the wayside for this gruesome, morbid murder mystery that I know they can't solve.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the actor who plays Sepp, his name is Dylan Smith, which I don't think he's got a whole lot of credits to his name, but
No, but he, man, he's great. And he unfortunately, it's the curly hair and the big mug. He just reminds me of John C. Reilly, but he's also got this, like, silent threat to him that makes him...
Well, it's like you said, he's got that Lou Ferrigno thing with, like, yeah, the, you know, the rigid eyebrows and that kind of stuff. But, you know, and it's also part of the problem that this supporting cast feels like they don't know what to do with him anymore. Like, freaking Leland Orser, I love this guy, but he... probably just doesn't even need to be in the show anymore. Like, he only just comes to go.
It almost feels like when De Niro drops into things sometimes of like, like, oh, you're just in this scene, this one set. I'm never going to see you in anywhere but this restaurant.
Yep. And then, like, I will say Connie Nielsen as the crazy step-grandmother of the main character.
Yeah.
I thought she's great in this.
She is great. She disappeared into, like, I honestly had to remind myself who that was sometimes.
Yeah. No, she's really good. I mean, I still don't quite get that character. I guess we're not supposed to, kind of thing. Like, she's just odd and weird and creepy and shady. Yeah.
She is adding to that pseudo-threatening mystique that unfortunately it's one of those things that kind of, once you see through it, like once it clicks that this has all just been kind of artifice. Are you people threatening? Or are you just weird?
They're just,
like,
Hollywood weirdos.
Are you just rich weird? Or is there really anything going on here? Like, this is just performance art. Like,
yeah. Or I mean, literally there is a scene of performance art in the fourth episode,
oh,
you know, just
expressly. Yeah. And cause I had a moment of thinking like, oh, you've stumbled onto something that's about to get real weird. And then the more afterwards I was like, no, I don't think you actually ruined anything weird. I think that was just beatnik weird performance art.
Yeah. No, so that's still the problem. Even the, you know, again, we've been talking about the fourth episode, but a lot hinges on the fact that by this fourth episode, I still got to say it's just a very stylishly produced, but empty kind of show.
It feels empty. Nothing's really, no single thing interesting has stuck around long enough to fill it up.
Yeah, no, and it's a real shame. I mean, I know we got two more episodes of this left. If you still think you can power through this, but
yeah, I will say, were I not committed to reviewing it, I might stop at this point.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't blame you. And you know, that's the thing, is that I looked at the numbers because, you know, they've been pumping the advertisements for this show for like crazy, the movie theaters and other television shows. But if you actually look at the ratings from the audiences, it's not all that great. I mean, what? Like, the pilot only got 0.898 million viewers, like, you know, out of a million. So it's like, what is that? Like 898,000. And then it made it past a million for the second episode. But even for the third one, which is coming out this week, I'm just kind of like, I can't see this show mustering more. I mean, unless people just really like Chris Pine, which, sorry to tell you people, he's really not the main actor of this show.
No, and that's part of the frustration, is that I won't say they've marketed it wrong. I think they've structured the whole thing a little bit wrong and marketed it kind of like they've structured it. But everybody I know that's, like I said, I've seen a ton of ads for it, and everybody I know that's asked me about it, all are speaking about it in tones of like, that looks intriguing. I will probably get to that when I can watch all six.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's just mostly going to be a show that people discover on binge, you know, just like after the fact. Yeah. So, I don't know. I guess there's some true crime junkies and period piece aficionados who might like this show, but...
That's what I'm hoping. I know I'm not the podcast murder obsessive. I have friends that listen to all, like, that are just murderinos and listen to all the murder podcasts.
Harris O'Malley's wife will love this, I'm sure.
And I feel like those folks will find enough here because it is really well made. I think people that have a penchant for the Dahlia and for these kinds of things, like I told someone about it and said, so she finds out that her grandfather or father might be George Hodel, and their face, I was like, you know who that name is. This show might work for you.
Yeah.
Like if all of these things set off little, oh, that's connected, then you're going to do the part of the work that I'm not able to do to make this work better for me.
Yeah. So we got two more episodes coming up. This time, the two episodes coming up will be directed by Carl Franklin, who is a really, really good TV director, if you look at his resume and that's that.
I am looking forward to seeing how they catch the Dahlia killer. I'm going for the Inglourious Bastards. That's my hope. If I got to make a prediction, I think they're going to Inglourious Bastards it.
I kind of want
the Dahlia in a theater, burn the whole thing down.
Crazy Hannibal style kind of ending, or I don't know. Dude, yeah, it's got to be. It should at least like be something along the lines like the ending of Hannibal season 3 with the crazy fight with the Red Dragon,
right?
Yeah, that would be amazing. But yeah, so we'll come back in a couple weeks. I mean, I really, really hope that picks up, but we'll see. So, any last thoughts before we depart?
No, I with my prediction with our hope for the Hannibal, I'm actually looking forward to this now.
So,
let's do 5 and 6 and see where we go. What happens to little fauna in Hawaii, maybe?
Which, yeah, that apparently is the next episode. It's called Aloha, so they are actually going to go to Hawaii that time.
Oh, wow.
So.
Okay.
All right. So we'll catch you all later.